We're continuing on in the Gospel of Luke, and we have seen the last time we were together, we saw Jesus sending the 12 out, and we saw how as he sent them, he provided everything that they needed. They didn't come short in anything, because God is able to provide all that we need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He looks after us, and he can look after every circumstance in a wonderful way. Well, when they came back and they told all the great things that had happened as the apostles were sent out, and they saw the hand of God moving in great power, Jesus decided to take them for a little break. Sometimes we need a break. Sometimes we need to get away. Sometimes pressures, we're human beings. And Jesus himself, at one point, he said to his disciples, come apart and rest a while. And so that's what he planned to do. He took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And this was on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. The western side is the populated side. The eastern side is more like the rural area where there isn't that, you know, many people. But somehow they found out where he was going. And in some passages of scripture, you find that they crossed the boat in lakes because it's only a 4-mile journey across. Some of them walked around the lake, but multitudes kept following Jesus. And so they went off to this other side for a break, but they didn't get it. And sometimes that's just the way things happen. When the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. He didn't stop ministering to them. He kept pouring blessing into their lives. So this multitude of people were gathered there, and we're going to find out there was upwards to 25,000 people who showed up. That's quite a crowd, isn't it? More than showed up in Inverness on Saturday, right? And so they get gathered around, and they're hearing the Lord Jesus teaching, and they're receiving a blessing, the touch of Jesus' hand in their lives. And friends, boy, we need the touch of God in our lives, don't we? Oh, we need God. It's worth crossing the lake. It's worth going around the lake. It's worth getting up out of bed on a Sunday morning and coming and gathering to hear, just for God to touch you. Not because of me, but because of the Word of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God. He has promised if we gather together, he'll be here in a special way. And he's here this morning, and he wants to touch our lives, and we need the touch of God. When the day began to wear away, Luke 9:12, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. Let's pray. Dear God, give us some understanding from this passage of Scripture. It's such a well-known passage. Sometimes, Lord, we think we know it all. And Lord, I just present this to you and ask for your Spirit to teach us this morning. Teach me and help us to see, oh God, what an amazing God you are. But also, let us be challenged, O Lord, to come to you and to listen to your voice and not to set our own agenda, but to somehow know what it is to trust the living God and watch you work in a marvelous way. So we just ask for your presence upon us. You know the deepest needs in every heart and mind. Meet them here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the day began to wear away. Long day, great crowd of people. The 12 were concerned, and legitimately so. Look at all these people. They've got no food. We're in a desert place. There is no access to food. So they come to Jesus with that concern. But when they came to Jesus with that concern, what did they do? What did they say? Send the multitude away. Send them away. Now, I don't know about you, but maybe sometimes you come to Jesus and maybe you have a concern. But I'll tell you what, a better way than coming to Jesus with your concern, there's a better way than telling Jesus what to do. Does that make sense? Right? Isn't that what they did? They said, send those multitude away. So here they are obviously there was a need out there. But instead of coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, what do you want to be done here? What would you have us do? They had the plan, and they brought it to Jesus, and they told Jesus what to do. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a good way to go about stuff. I'm glad they had the concern. It's wonderful that they had a concern. And I'm glad when you have concerns in your life. But rather than coming to Jesus with your pre-ideas of the way things should be and then telling God how he should do it, I think it would be a little better if you humbled yourself and you said, Lord, what should we do here? Lord, the people are hungry. Lord, it's late in the day. God, there's a great need here. Now, Lord, show us what to do. Show us what to do, Lord. May God give us that kind of heart in coming in prayer, because sometimes we do come with our own notions, and sometimes we come telling God what to do, because we figure this is the way it's got to work out. You don't know how stuff is going to work out, friends. We don't have a crystal ball for the future, and if there's people around telling you they have one, don't listen to them. It's amazing. I was visiting up in Dingwall a couple of days ago, and there's somebody up there that's medium, supposedly, that people are booking and paying $50 an hour to go and see them, and they think it's wonderful that this person's going to solve their problems. Not going to solve their problems. As a matter of fact, if this person thinks that they're contacting the dead, they're only contacting demons if they're contacting anyone. Mediums, the Bible clearly warns against it. It clearly warns that you're opening a doorway to demons. And sadly, some people will get deeply influenced and could even become possessed as a result of fooling around with that kind of stuff. There's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And if people, these mediums pretend just pure charlatans, there's plenty of them. And there's others who may be in spiritual contact, and demons can imitate your dead loved ones. They also know the history, and they can say things that only they would know, except for spirits in the spirit world. So people are easily deceived and fooled. And the Bible actually says in the last days that people will work lying signs and wonders so that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. So be on guard. Know that these things are not true. Come to Jesus with your needs. And here they came to Jesus. They came with a need. But the only thing is they told him what to do. So I want to encourage you not to go that route. So Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. He turned it around to them and he says, okay, you want me to send them away? No, I'm going to tell you something different. I'm going to tell you something utterly impossible. You feed them. You can imagine them scratching their heads. You can imagine them looking at one another and trying to figure out, well, what does he mean by that? How can we feed this great number of people? They said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people. Now, I'm going to go to one of the other Gospels, because this is recorded in the 4 Gospels. It's recorded, this story. And so if you look at the 4 witnesses that were there, you'll get a bigger, better picture of the whole story. And so Jesus said, he said to them, how many loaves do you have? This is what Jesus said to them, go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. So Jesus sent them and said, okay, you feed them. Well, we can't feed them. Well, go and see how much there is. Go and have a look. So they come back, and in John's gospel, we found out that there was a lad here, John 6:8, it says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Now, Philip, he went to the treasury. He went to see, well, how much money do we have? To see if we could buy these people bread. And so he looks into the treasury, and he says, 200 denarii worth of bread, which is 200 pennies. Now, that wasn't nothing, because a penny was a wage for the day. That's what you would get paid. If you got paid for your day, you got a penny a day. That doesn't sound like much, does it? But anyway, he said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. He says, this is what we've got in the storehouse here, and it isn't enough. We don't have enough money, and we certainly don't have enough bread. We've got a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, those loaves would have been buns, small buns. It would have been one boy's lunch. That's all. The fish would have likely been dried or pickled fish, because fish doesn't keep in hot climates like that. And so it would like to have been dried or pickled fish. So he had his little lunch there. They went looking among the crowd, and they found one boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Wow. What are you going to do with this? So here's the Lord turning it around. They said, you send them away. That was their solution to the problem. God had another solution. And it actually tells us in John's gospel that he said he tested them to find out, to challenge them. Jesus wanted to test them. He wanted them to be stretched. And I want you to know that God wants to stretch you. And because God wants to stretch you, he's going to put you in impossible situations. This was an impossible situation. He's going to put you in impossible situations. But in those impossible situations, there's certain things that you can do. And we're going to find out what they are. The first thing is, you can check and see what your resources are and find out they're not enough. But the second thing is that you take what you have and you bring it to Jesus Christ. You know the story of Moses? You know the call of Moses? When Moses was up on the mountain, he saw the burning bush. Everybody kind of at least seen it, maybe at least a cartoon of it, right? When Moses was up on that mountain and he saw the burning bush, and God spoke to him and he said, I want you to go down and I want you to deliver the Israelites out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Moses says, well, who am I? Moses, I can't do this. And he argued with God about it. And finally God says, no, I'm sending you. And so God says to him, what do you got in your hand, Moses? The staff. Shepherd's staff. That's all Moses was a shepherd. He said, put it on the ground. As soon as he put it on the ground, what happened to it? It turned into a snake. Now he said, pick it up by the tail. Now here's a rule. You don't pick up snakes by the tail. Do you know why? That's right. The only way you pick up a snake is if you can get behind his head and grab him there. He said, I want you to pick it up by the tail, Moses. Moses did what God said. Small little step of faith. He picks it up by the tail, immediately becomes a staff again. That staff God used to rule over Egypt. That staff was stretched out over the Red Sea, wasn't it? That staff was used to strike a rock and water came pouring out. God used that staff, that little shepherd's staff, to rule over Egypt. God can take the smallest things and he can do the greatest things with the smallest. And that means that God can use you in marvelous ways if you're willing to be put into his hands. God can take a few loaves and a few fish and he can do amazing things with it. Whatever goes into his hands, wow, there's no telling what God will do with it. It's incredible what he can do through being surrendered to him. Now, as these 5 loaves and 2 fish were brought, the question that Andrew says is, what are they among so many? What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with, you know, a ragtaggle bunch here in Shetty Camp? What are we going to do with this? What are we going to do ourselves with reaching into our families whom we love and help so that they might get to know God? How can we do anything with all of this? What are we going to do to reach people who are broken and ruined and lost because of sin? How are we going to help them? The wall seems too big and we seem too small. But put it in the hands of Jesus. That's why it's a good thing to pray. That's why I ask you, is there anything you need prayer for? Because God answers prayer. When you're praying, you're taking the situation and you're placing it into God's hands. You're placing it into the hands of God who's able to do anything with anything. And all to trust him with all these circumstances and the devastations and the trials. Whatever the wall is that we come up against, they came up a wall with this wall and they said, send them away. God says, no, I've got other plans here. I'm not going to send them away. I'm going to do something for them. And so it says there were about, Luke 9:14, there were about 5,000 men. Now, when we look in the other Gospels, it says 5,000 men plus the women and the children. Now, you might say, well, how come they just said the men? Because the men were the head of the households, and they were saying there were 5,000 households there. Now, they didn't have small families in those days. They had big families. So a very conservative estimate would be 25,000 people that were gathered on that hillside that day. Now, some of the women and children may not have been there because, you know, they did travel a long ways. But some of them came in boats and whatever. So you're looking at least 25,000 people who were on that hillside that day. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. Now, why do you think he said that? Sit down in groups of 50.
So they could see how many there were.
Okay, maybe get a count how many there were there. Possible. Any other reason why? Thank you, Colin. Organization. Organization's a wonderful thing. I don't have that, but some people do. But I'm thankful for those who are organized. I got organized this morning. I made beautiful chicken sandwiches, and I put them in the box, and they were, oh, man, these look good. I wanted to eat them right there. And I put them in the fridge, and they're still in the fridge. Halfway here, I forgot the sandwiches again. Now, my wife, when she's with me, I remember the sandwiches because she remembers them. But me, no. Right? But it's a beautiful thing. And God is organized. He wanted them to sit in groups of 50. There's a few reasons. He had them sit down and he had them sit in groups. You know what happens when people, a whole bunch of hungry people find out there's food somewhere? What happens? That's right. You can get a mess going, can't you? We heard this past week of a terrible incident in Saudi Arabia. I don't know how many. How many were there? Over 1,000. Over 1,000 were killed because of a multitude mob. They mobbed around this temple or something, and this is not the first time that's happened. Crowds can be unruly, but God is so wise. He knows just what to do, even the practical things. And that's so important, that God is involved in the practical things, and we can look to him for direction in practical things, as we have at the building. We've been praying and asking in practical ways for God to supply and show us what to do. And he gives the wisdom that's needed and the people with the skills to be able to do it. In this case, they set them by 50s, and they had them set in groups, and they were seated down so that they couldn't all, you know, as soon as they saw there was bread coming, they didn't all get up and start running. They were all settled in, and it says there was much grass there in another one of the Gospels. So it was a nice, comfortable picnic place. And setting them in 50s also gave the disciples, who had quite a task on their hands, to be able to spread this food to all of them. And they made them sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. What happens to the 5 loaves and 2 fish? The little boy took it that day. He went to he had his own lunch, and he gives it up. He gives up the small little bit that he has. And he puts it in the hands of the disciples, and they put it in the hands of Jesus. Oh, whatever goes into his hands, what blessing can flow? Put your life into his hands. Put all you have into the hands of Jesus Christ. Don't hold back. Surrender is your all laid to Jesus Christ. Put whatever goes into his hands, he can do something marvelous with. You run your life apart from him. You make up your own decisions, and you come to him for once in a while for stuff. But all God is saying, surrender all to me. Put it all in my hands. It was useless as far as the multitudes were concerned. It would have fed the little boy. Might have fed 2, not satisfactorily. But it was useless to the crowds until it went in the hands of Jesus. Do you know how useless we are to really be of benefit and of help to other people, of growing other people, of encouraging other people and bringing them along in their life towards God and towards heaven, unless we are in the hands of Jesus Christ? Place your life in his hands and do it every day. Daily, Lord, you take over here. Lord, you take my life and let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. He takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them. And again, we see him looking to heaven. We see him giving thanks, it says in another one of the Gospels. And he pours a blessing on that food. Because he's looking at heaven. He knows where the source of real life is from. He knows where everything comes from heaven. And if Jesus knows that, and Jesus, before he did many miracles, that's what he did. He looked to heaven. I want to encourage you to do the same. Look to God. So what wall are you facing in your life right now? What circumstances have loomed up and rise up on you? And if there aren't any, there'll be some. I guarantee you. What are you going to do? Let me encourage you. Let Jesus take over and put the situation and your whole life in his hands. He gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. Now, he had 5 loaves, 2 fish. That's what he gave to the disciples. Somehow, it doesn't exactly tell us, but somehow, they all ate, were filled, and there were 12 baskets of leftover fragments were taken up by them. They went about distributing. Now, they got it from Jesus. They headed out with the small little bit they had. I don't even know how they got 5 loaves and 2 fish distributed between 12 of them. But somehow, as they handed it out, it multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. So that 25,000 people were fed. When they got all done, there was 12 basketfuls left over. And what's the significance of 12 basketfuls? I'm sorry? 12 disciples. There were 12 disciples, 12 apostles. There was a basket for each of them. They didn't lose. They were the ones that were giving it all away. And they were probably hungry too. But at the end of the story, there was plenty for each one of them. More than enough. There's always more than enough with Jesus Christ. So what I want you to think about today, and maybe in terms of your own life, is this. The first thing is trust God. Trust God. Trust him. He knows best. Give him your whole heart. Don't hold back. Give him your whole life. Don't hold back. Where you hold back, you will suffer. Where you hold back, you will lose. Let him take all of it. Every part, every day. As you surrender your complete life to Jesus Christ, not telling him what to do, but actually asking him what he wants done with your circumstance, with your experience, with who you are, and put your life in the hands of God. Now, that, I believe, is a daily experience. When you rise up in the morning, Jesus, take my life. Jesus, take the wheel, I think is a song that Gordy Sampson wrote, wasn't it? Take the wheel. Lord, you take over from now on. I've done my part, and it hasn't done very well. You drive the car, Lord. You take over here. So trust the Lord. And the second thing is, obey the Lord. The Bible speaks about the obedience of faith. Do what he says. I don't know about you, but I think I would feel a little foolish standing before 25,000 people with a few loaves and fish, having had them all sit down and get ready for a meal. It'd be pretty awkward, right? Boy, they stepped out in faith. They reached from the hands of Jesus and turned to this multitude of people, and there was bread and enough to spare. Trust the Lord. We have so many stories of God's provision down through the ages, not only in the Bible. George Mueller, who ran orphanages, amazing man, and I've used him as an example a few times. And some Wednesday evening at Bible study, we're going to have a little film and watch some of the life of George Mueller. A man who trusted God. A man who was sitting in his orphanage with no food. And they came and said, we have nothing for breakfast for the kids. Now, he had upwards to 3,000 children to feed. But this was in one of the orphanage homes. I don't know how many were in there. I think it was maybe 400, 600. But they had no food. He comes out and he says, okay, everyone, let's give thanks to God for our breakfast. Yeah, there's nothing. They had no cereal. They had no... They had nothing. And as he prayed and thanked God for it, knock comes on the orphanage door. The milkman comes. He says, the cart, my wheel broke off my cart. And I've got all this milk and it's going to spoil. Do you think you can use it? So a baker comes by. He says, I got up in the night, the same morning. I got up in the night and I was impressed upon me that I need to bake bread for the children. So I baked all this bread and I brought it here. Do you need it? Everything was provided, including the cereal. He prayed, God answered. Do you know that Mueller was an amazing man? Because what he did is he did what I don't do. He was very organized. He marked down the date that he prayed for something, and then he marked down the day that it was answered. And he recorded 50,000 definite answers to prayer in his lifetime. 50,000 definite answers to prayer, where it was God working, like the situations I'm telling you about. He was a man who could trust God, and a man whom God could trust and entrust him with millions of dollars. And those millions of dollars flowed through his hand to the orphanage and flowed through his hand to missions all over the world, which the equivalent today would be probably $100 million in actual money. And yet, he trusted God. What did he do? He trusted the Lord, and he surrendered to him. He obeyed him. Whatever God told him to do, he did. Can I encourage you today to be like these disciples who are learning, just like us, who even a little bit later, you know, they blew it, just like we do, who come short in so many ways, but God was teaching them, you can trust me. Oh, let me encourage each one of you, and myself included. Lord, you be in control. Lord, let me come with a surrendered heart. What do you want to do, Lord, in this situation? Teach me how to pray. Lord, I put all of this in your hands. And then, Lord, not only am I putting this in your hands, the circumstance, I'm putting myself in your hands. And, Lord, I'm saying whatever you want me to do, that I will do it. As the disciples obeyed the Lord in an impossible situation, God provided in a marvelous way. So that's my little message for you today. Let me encourage you. Surrender. Put your trust in the Lord. Obey him. Even if it seems crazy, trust God and he will provide in a marvelous way. I remember a number of years ago, I was in a service and a guy who's ministering, his name is Phil Welch. He ministers with the native people and the Inuit people. And he was in Kujarapik. In northern Quebec. And he was sharing the work that he was doing there. And while I was sitting in the service, as he was sharing, I felt God speak to me. So I want you to go there. So I said to the Lord, to myself, I said, Lord, do you want me to go? Before I leave the building, have him ask me to come. Because, you know, maybe I was didn't sleep well last night. Maybe I had indigestion. I thought I heard God, right? So I just said, have him ask me to come. So as I get to the door, he comes to me and says, Pierre, I really want you to come. I said, okay. When? He said, really? I said, yeah. The Lord already spoke to me. You just confirmed it. Okay, he said, well, yeah, how about this week? Yeah, fine. Now, I didn't have the money to go. And he didn't have the money for me to go. And I knew that, I said, Lord, I could put it on a Visa card, but I believe you, if you ask me just directly, then you're going to provide for it. I don't know where from, but you're going to provide. So I'm trusting you with it. And I was so settled about that. It was just coming to the time to go, and I still didn't have any. There was no extra money. I figured it would cost about $1,000 because I got in my car, and I'd drive as far as I could into northern Quebec until I could drive no more, and then take an airplane from there into this town because there are no roads there. So I had to drive up a nice road north of Montreal, way up into Radisson. It's the last stop. So I figured it would cost me about $1,000 for the plane tickets and everything else. So, okay, good. So I says, Lord, thank you. You're going to provide for it. And I had absolute confidence. And I went down to, I was getting my income tax back. But all that was coming back, he had already told me on the phone what it was. And it was all spent, which is usually the way, right? Whatever was coming back was already going on bills. So I said, I can't count any of that. So I went down to see him. And I was wondering how he's going to do this because I was leaving in about 2 days. And he says, I said to him something about last year's taxes and this year's taxes. He says, well, I better check something. So he went and looked. And, well, look at that, he said. You've got an extra $1,000 coming back. I said, I kind of figured that. I said, and so I told him the story. You see, God meets every need. And we can trust him if we're willing to step out in obedience. And I want to encourage you. Find out how amazing our God is. Don't live in the shadows, but give your whole life to God and trust him to provide, whatever the circumstances. That was just an example I'm leaving you with. But I want to encourage you, trust the Lord. Trust and obey. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for a simple story today, but a dramatic one, Lord. An amazing story. And Lord, each of us face challenges. Teach us to trust and obey, O God. Give us the grace, Lord, to actually begin to trust you more than we ever have. Help us to stop telling you what to do, Lord. Help us to stop thinking we're going to run our own lives, but to actually trust you. Because you can take these little people like us and you can take us forward in amazing ways if we're willing to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. I did want to share a little story with you, and I think I have before, but I'm instead of reading all this, I'm going to ask you, have you ever heard of a guy named Edward Kimball? I mentioned him before. Edward Kimball, let me ask you another question. Have you ever heard of Billy Graham? You never heard of Billy Graham? Billy Graham has preached to more people on the planet than anyone that has ever walked. It's estimated that 2.2 billion people have heard the gospel from Billy Graham. But Edward Kimball was just a little guy who was a Sunday school teacher who taught a few little boys. And he went and shared the gospel with rowdy boys. One of them's name was D.L. Moody. He went and shared the gospel with D.L. Moody. Went to the shoe store where he was stocking shelves and said, you need to know Jesus. And D.L. Moody got saved. D.L. Moody touched thousands of people with the gospel. And he shared the gospel with Wilbur Chapman. Chapman preached to lots of people. And a professional ball player, Billy Sunday, heard him. And he preached to lots of people. And Billy Sunday preached to a guy named Mordecai Ham. And Mordecai Ham gets saved. And he's preaching the gospel in North Carolina. And there, a young man named Billy, they called him Billy Frank, heard the gospel from him. So a small little move, act of God, way back there. You think Mr. Kimball may wonder, what did I do with my life? Maybe that was the only one that trusted God in his lifetime. But millions have come to the Lord through the sharing of Edward Kimball, and a few generations down the road. You see what God can do? One life in his hands. You don't know what the results will be. You don't know how many multitudes of people will be reached. If God only causes you to reach one person, thank that God for that. Just be faithful, trust, and obey. It may seem like a long journey. It may seem like you're not doing much. But at the end of the journey, you'll know God is good. That whatever you do, it may be a small cog in a great big bit of machinery. But that small cog, the machinery doesn't work without it. So trust and obey.